0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. JD Kasama finally completes his move to Rangers on a four-year deal. Could Odson Edouard be on his way back to Celtic? And the Premier Sports Cup continues tonight with the likes of Motherwell, St Mirren and Hearts all in action. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Gordon Dalziel.
Yeah, games coming thick and fast now. Obviously, the Premier League Sports Cup up and running, Andrew. A lot of fixtures tonight. Rangers making a signing today. I think, what, if you count Cortez, the eighth. And you look at this game, a massive game coming up. It's just round the corner next Tuesday, how quick it's came. You just wonder, is Rangers prepared the best? I'm a bit surprised that they've not taken on... I know they play a lot of closed-door games, but I'm a bit surprised they've not had more competitive games, maybe at Ibrox or somewhere else. But obviously, Russell Martin knows the way he wants to get into this, how he's got to prepare for it. He's got players there to blend in and put together. And then the news, you wonder what the Celtic fans would think of the return of Edouard.
Yeah, 0141 951 1025. Whatever is on your mind, we want to hear from you. Maybe you are a Rangers fan that wants to talk about that JD Kasama deal that is finally done. He's signed for a reported fee of £2.2 million from Sheffield Wednesday. We heard from Joe Cran, who's a Sheffield-based journalist, last night, giving us the lowdown on JD Kasama. That is now done. So Rangers fans, how do you feel about that signing? The European deadline for registration for that game next Tuesday is actually on Thursday. So that is soon. I think there can be a couple of changes made after that, but the bulk of the squad needs to be done by Thursday. So what else does Russell Martin need to do before that Panathinaikos game? Celtic fans, Odson Edouard is a name that has been linked with a potential move back to Parkhead. Celtic reportedly monitoring the situation with him being allowed to leave Crystal Palace. Would you like him back at the club? What did you make of his first spell? Do you think he could recreate that if he came back under Brendan Rodgers? 0141 951 1025. Or if you're on your way to a Premier Sports Cup game tonight, we always like to hear from you. If you're on your way to a game, if you're excited, maybe not quite the weather we had for it at the weekend, but different conditions tonight, we want to hear from you on your way to a game. 0141 951 1025. It was a busy weekend on the pitch. Busy weekend for you as well. A nice trip away.
Always a busy weekend, yeah. I needed a little break and I went to what I now call my favourite place. And I'll be going every year at the same time. Loved it.
Nice and exotic. Blackpool, yep. It was, yep.
Yeah, and I come back home with the usual £15 worth of Stocky Rock. But I've got to say, I really enjoyed my weekend. And the sun and the weather, I think everybody up and down the country would have enjoyed that. Sitting there, basking in the weather and enjoying yourself.
I did enjoy it when you told me last week that you were going to go to Blackpool for the weekend. Saw you tonight earlier on in the office for the first time since you'd been back. Asked you, simple question, how was Blackpool? Gordon Dalziel genuinely said it was the best 3 days of his life. And I don't think I wanted to know any more information about what Gordon Dalziel was getting up to in Blackpool. But you know what? I think maybe you found your place. I mean, I think you found a home from home.
Yes, I have. Loved the people, loved everything about it. And as we say, the weather made it, Andrew. It's as simple as that. But nice to be back up. And you're just thinking, you're still chilling in your summer holidays. And you're now looking at this Rangers game, how quickly it's came upon us. You just wonder if the Rangers fans, and I heard a bit of the programme last night, are they a bit concerned? Are Rangers ready for this game? Because I touched on it earlier, everybody's got their own way of preparing. Russell Martin's an experienced guy, he's managed at a real good level. He's brought in 7 players plus the re-signing of Cortez. I've just a bit surprised that, you know, they played Bruges at home. I thought they would have had more games leading up to this.
Because even when they were down at St George's Park, Rangers played Barnsley in a sort of behind-closed-door friendly. But were you expecting that before Panathinaikos, you've got to assume, I don't know this for certain, that Rangers will have some sort of bounce game now in between, you know, right now and Panathinaikos a week tonight. But does it feel that there just maybe hasn't been enough in terms of, you know, bigger games with more intensity, yeah, if you can get that in a pre-season friendly?
Only time will tell in that. Maybe Russell Martin's used this to say, right, okay, I've got new players in, I'm going to try a new system, I'm going to work on different things. And when you go closed-door games, you can do that a lot better. So he may have just looked down that route. But I just think with the importance of this game coming up, and as I say, it's next Tuesday, I thought he would have probably had one or two more games, for instance, at Ibrox or maybe abroad at a different stadium, but more intense rather than going to your training ground and playing in pitches like that. So, look, at the end of the day, every manager prepares differently. The proof will be in the pudding next week. It's at Ibrox, and there'll be Rangers fans going along there to see what the new manager's going to bring.
Is that more the concern about the, you know, potentially being undercooked, not having that, rather than, you know, the number of players that have been brought in, the quality of players? Because we heard both opinions on the phones last night. There were, you know, Rangers fans that had maybe been underwhelmed about the signings and where they were coming from. There was others that were more concerned just about the preparation. Is it more the preparation side rather than the signings that you'd be concerned about?
Yeah, for me it is. Because at the end of the day, we can't sit here and say how these players are going to hit the ground. You know, some of them may hit the ground running. We've already had reports that one or two are showing up really well in training. That's a big plus, but you need to get them to get on the pitch and prove it in front of 49,000 Rangers supporters at Ibrox when you're expected to win games. It's more of the sort of the build-up to it. I just thought, and look, at the end of, I said it earlier, at the end of the day, the Rangers manager goes down the route he wants to go down. He feels that this is the right preparation for them. But I was a bit surprised there weren't one or two more games thrown in there.
Well, Rangers fans, any thoughts on that? Give us a call, 01419511025. Why don't we take a look at that Odson Edwards story? Reports that Celtic are monitoring his situation after the former Celtic striker, of course, was transfer listed by Crystal Palace. Brian is a Celtic fan in Stirling. Brian, would you like to see Odson Edward back?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This guy's, he was a great player when he was with us. He's been away for the seasons that he's been away. He's been working in one of the top five leagues in the world. He's playing against some of the best defenders in the world. So, has he got a better? Is he better? I would like to think so, and it would be brilliant for us to pick up a player of his calibre again, you know, to get him back. He's got a great song at Celtic Park. Everything's coming up roses. If we can get that calibre of player in, and then if Liverpool could just give us Van Dijk back, that would just make it all good, you know.
I'm sure Brendan Rodgers wouldn't mind that at all. But in terms of Odson Edward, of course, you know, he's a big fan's favourite when he was at Celtic. He got that big move down to Crystal Palace. What would you make of that as a potential return to Celtic if it was possible?
I think it would be a positive for a lot of Celtic fans. I really do. Brian is obviously one of those. I think Brian makes good points in the fact that he's went down there. He was a big success in Scotland, let's not be kidding. He's went down to England. He's played in a top league against top centre-halves. For me, he's got to have improved. He's 27. He's at a good age, in fact, a really good age.
And he's probably younger than you would think he is, just because he was so young when he was at Celtic that you probably would have thought he's older than 27
right now. And he's played games in England Premier League against top quality centre-halves. So it tells me that it would be a case of financially, Andrew. See, if financially the deal could be done, I think Celtic would welcome that. I could be wrong, but I think they would welcome it, and I think a lot of Celtic fans would be very positive on it.
Brian, the sort of 3 seasons after he joined Crystal Palace, he was playing regularly, he'd scored some goals for them. Would last season be a concern at all? He was loaned out to Leicester, really didn't get a look in at all at Leicester. I think the whole second half of the season he wasn't even making the bench for them. Would that be a concern to you at all? Or just given his track record before and what he did with Celtic, would you be perfectly fine that he'd come in and hit the ground running?
I think he would be a great asset to Celtic. You know, like we all have blips in our employment, and I think that's just a blip. The boy is a great player. The boy, he can header, he can play, and he plays big games. You know, he's not fazed by big games. What he done in England, you know, has really nothing to do with me. It's what he does at Celtic that when I saw him. So when he comes back, I'm expecting a player that's improved, that is matured, who understands the product and understands the place where he's coming back to. He knows the expectations of Celtic fans. So to come in when he did and do what he done, as a young player, raw, we didn't know what we were getting. We know what we're going to get off this lad. And if he's improved greatly, then it's all power to the Celtic elbow, you know, and it's I just think it's a win-win situation. It doesn't matter what cost. I don't think he'll be, you know, like astronomical prices. We've paid £9 million for Adamida, and I like Adamida. He's a good player, but he's not hit the ground running and he's not a fan's favourite. Whereas, you know, Odson Edward, he definitely did. And as I said to one of your guys there on the phone, he's got his song. I mean, we'll just rehash his song back out again. And it's, you know, I think it's a great thing for Celtic to be going in for that calibre of player and not just, you know, he's no project, is he? He's the real deal. Well, that's it.
I'd love to think the Celtic recruitment team are sitting there thinking, you know, who's got the best song? Who could we bring back? Who's got the best?
Yes, Brian obviously loves the song. I've got to say, I know what Brian's saying there about you pay £9 million for Adamida. Celtic have got the money, but it's the full package. You know, he's been in the Premier League, he'd probably be on a fair chunk of a wage at Crystal Palace. I do agree with Brian. I think every player has their dips in form, and he's no different from anyone else. And a centre forward, sometimes you go off the boil and, you know, you're not scoring goals and you're a centre forward, the spotlight's on you, puts a little bit of pressure on you and you take a dip in form, it happens. But I just look at him, I think at the right age, coming back to Celtic, knows the club inside out. Well, you've seen it, Celtic have got a habit of doing this. You know, you look at Jota, they put him out for big money, brought him back. Tierney out for big money, brought him back. So I wouldn't be surprised if this went through. I think it'd be a good option for him, but it just depends on what Brendan Rodgers is looking for.
Well, thanks to Brian. He'd be a fan of Odson Edward coming back. What about Mark in Yoker? Would you like to see it?
I'm the opposite, quite frankly. I think he's worse than a man doing. That last season, his attitude was all over the shop. He angling for his move away, more or less down tools. All right, it was a difficult season with COVID and all the rest of it, but his body language was atrocious that year. Of all the players you could bring back, I'd have brought back Kyogo, I'd even bring back Jack Amakis before I brought him back. I just don't think Edward's heart was in it. I don't think it would be now that he's been... I mean, he's barely kicked a ball for 2 years. He's not done an awful lot for Palace or when he was on loan. Was it Ipswich he went to? I can't quite remember who he went on loan to. But
Leicester.
Leicester, aye. Did he even score for them? I can't remember.
Didn't really kick a ball for most of the season. But just in terms of, you know, you talk about his last season at Celtic, Mark, was it really as bad as you're making out? I know Celtic had a pretty disastrous season. It was that COVID season. Still scored 22 goals in all competitions.
I just remember his body language being awful and just the way he wasn't putting any effort in at times. He was just kind of ambling around the pitch, looked completely disinterested. A lot of the team did that year. It was a very strange season. We all know, you know, Celtic sort of went off the boil dramatically. But I just remember his body language being really poor. I know he scored 22 goals, but that should be level par for a Celtic player playing up front. And I believe 20 plus goals is what you is the minimum requirement if you're wearing the number 9 shirt at Parkhead. Quite frankly, so that's not overachieving. That's level par as far as I'm concerned.
I think of Odson Edward at his best for Celtic, that's kind of just his style, wasn't it? He always looked quite nonchalant, he looked quite relaxed. Do you think that's a fair accusation that, you know, his heart wasn't in it, or he maybe wasn't trying?
I take on board what Mark's saying, and I don't think he'll be alone. I think one or two would have looked at that season, looked at the way he was going about his business. He has got that style about him. I just look at the guy, as I say, look, he's not had the greatest last couple of seasons down in England. But when he was in Scotland, I don't think you lose your ability at 27. I looked up and I thought he had very good ability. I thought he was a very good player, i.e. why a Premier League club came in and took him. He would come back to a club that he knows and he demands. He must have matured, because we all do it. As a young player, you go down there, you'll get a fair wage. Sometimes you can go either way with it. Your attitude's either spot on or you got a little bit slack, we don't know. But he's coming back to a guy who probably would do his homework on him, make sure that his attitude was right. And I do think that if you got him the right terms, and I've got to say the right terms, I do think he would do a job for Celtic, I really do.
Mark, whether it is Odson Edouard or someone else, is that an area you think Brendan Rodgers really needs to strengthen a new striker in this window?
Yeah, I think it's paramount, quite frankly. I think we're very weak up there. As the previous caller said, he does not quite hit the ground. Hopefully he can come on to a game this year. Obviously, you've got Maeda. And then after that, you're kind of scratching your head as to who else could play there. So definitely to bring one name of good standing, good quality, and to bolster that attack, definitely.
Brendan Rodgers has done a couple of interviews over in Portugal, Celtic's pre-season training camp over there, and he has mentioned Kyogo's name a couple of times, just in terms of saying, you know, he was sold in January, wasn't replaced properly. Does that make you think that essentially that is an area that Brendan Rodgers is still going to be looking at and will be strengthening if he can before the end of the window?
100%. He's got to get someone in. Because you look at the fixtures that teams like Celtic go through, they're always at the end of the season, still playing in cup finals and challenging for trophies. In Europe, they were very good last year. You just need one or two injuries and all of a sudden you're struggling a little bit. So I think they've got to prepare for that. And there's no doubt in my mind that Celtic will strengthen in the forward areas before the start of the season.
Well, thank you to Mark. Any thoughts to add to that? 01419511025. Rangers fans, you have a new signing today in J.D. Gassama, 1 week away from that Panathinaikos game as well. How are you feeling about that? 01419511025. Or maybe you're on your way to a Premier Sports Cup game tonight and want to give us a bit of a preview. That is the same number, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You could be catching Gordon DL at the right time because he's spent the last 3 days in Blackpool. I'm not sure what kind of state he's in, whether he's fragile, whether he's okay or not, but I have a feeling that he might not be in top form. We'll see, we'll see. But if you want to play Gordon DL at Beat the Pundit, ring 01419511025 now.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. 01419511025. Celtic fans who've been hearing differing opinions on the reports that Odson Edouard could be a Celtic target once again. Maybe you want to add to that debate. 01419511025. Rangers fans, it is just a week away, that Champions League qualifier against Panathinaikos. How are you feeling about the squad generally, the preparations, the new signing J.D. Gassama, who was announced today on a 4-year deal? Or if you're on your way to a Premier Sports Cup match, we want to hear from you. There are 15 games across the country tonight, so looking forward to previewing those. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Refreshed after your break, or has it had the opposite effect? Is there too much going on in that head that you've got no idea what's happening?
I will tell you in the next 5 minutes exactly what's happening here. But I'm confident after our last Thursday. Got a good victory against the two lads that were sitting outside Morrison's, waiting to get in for 2-for-1.
Oh, that's right, yeah. You were up against two people, which you absolutely hate when there's more than one person.
It's a disgrace, it shouldn't be allowed now.
Craig in Linwood, have you got any help with you?
Well, this is quite a funny one. I've actually got an American sitting next to me in the van on the way to a pipe band practice.
Oh, there you go.
Is your American friend going to be any help whatsoever?
He's going to be worse than a man down because he'd never even heard of football until it was called soccer.
Ah, right. I'm just having a look to see if there are any American-themed questions. I think your pal might have to just sit this one out and listen, unfortunately. Right, we will put some Greatest Hits radio in the ear of Gordon DL so he cannot tear us. I do wonder, what does your American friend just make of the madness that is Scottish football?
Well, in our work, we've got two Rangers fans, a Celtic fan, a Partick Thistle fan, and a boy from Fraserburgh. So he's kind of still yet to decide what way he's going to go. But yeah, he thinks it's pretty much chaos.
Good stuff, good stuff. Well, we'll see if there's any more chaos and Beat the Pundit. The thing is, I went too early on saying let's put Greatest Hits Radio in Gordon DL's ear, so he's just wondering what this conversation is. He thinks that I'm giving you some extra time here. But it is just 30 seconds on the clock for you, Craig, to answer as many questions as you can. And remember, you can pass as well. How does that sound?
Sounds good, man.
Let's do it. What nationality is Celtic's Yang?
Japanese.
Guess the year Rangers and Man United both won a treble.
99.
Who scored more Scottish Premiership goals, Lauren Shankland or Adam Rooney?
Lauren Shankland.
Which Scottish manager is now head of football strategy at Newcastle?
Pass.
What's the only Premiership stadium with just three stands?
Pass.
Who did the Scotland men's team lose to in their last World Cup playoff?
Can you repeat that, please?
Who did the Scotland men's team lose to in their last World Cup playoff?
Pass.
Okay, we will bring Gordon DL back in. Don't worry, we weren't giving Craig extra time. We were just talking about you behind your back while you couldn't hear us.
All right, okay, that's
that
fine.
Was all, that was all. Just
complimentary, Craig, was it?
Oh, always, as always.
Thank you, Greg.
Yes, right, 30 seconds on the clock for Gordon DL. Let's go. What nationality is Celtic's Yang?
Korean.
Guess the year Rangers and Man United both won a treble.
2001.
Who scored more Scottish Premiership goals, Lauren Shankland or Adam Rooney?
Adam Rooney.
Which Scottish manager is now head of football strategy at Newcastle?
Jack Ross.
What's the only Premiership stadium with three stands?
The only what?
Premiership stadium with just three stands.
Livingston. No, it's not.
Okay, Craig, how do you feel it went?
Three stands.
I've had an absolute howler, but I don't know, man. That's pretty close to call.
Right, we will.
So what you're saying is I've had a howler as well, Craig?
Well, we'll get to that in a wee minute because I've got a wee request for you, Gordon.
All right, okay.
Right, okay. You know what? I'm going to leave that first question for now and move on. And we'll come back to that. Guess the year. Rangers and Man United both won a treble. You went for 2001.
I had no idea. I just guess, I guess.
Craig went for 1999.
We got it.
Which is correct. Craig is a Rangers fan. And remember, Man United winning the Champions League final with the two late goals.
Yeah.
So it goes 1-0. To Craig. Who scored more Scottish Premiership goals, Lauren Shankland or Adam Rooney? Craig went for Lauren Shankland. Gordon went for Adam Rooney. Lauren Shankland scored 64. Adam Rooney has scored 66. So it goes 1-1. Which Scottish manager is now head of football strategy at Newcastle? Craig passed that one. I'm impressed after the weekend that you've had that you...
That's Jack Ross, isn't
it? Yeah, it's Jack Ross. He got promoted to that role over the weekend. So it goes 2-1 to Gordon DL. What's the only Premiership stadium with just three stands?
Hold on. Neither of you got it. Hold on. Premiership stadium with three stands?
Yep.
Oh,
quite famously has like three decent-sized stands and just a gap on the other side of it.
Falkirk,
yes, but that doesn't count for anything. Getting it now, neither of you got it. Remains 2-1 to Gordon DL. Who did the Scotland men's team lose to in their last World Cup playoff? You didn't get that far, Gordon DL. Craig did get that far.
You get that.
But he passed it right at the end.
On,
didn't
Craig.
Even take a stab at it.
Any
however,
country.
There is one question left with Gordon DL 2-1 up. And the only reason I left it is because you would have been kicking off at the start if I didn't give you this. But technically, you didn't really get it right. Craig went for Japanese.
Isn't
for
it?
Yang, you went for Korean.
Yeah.
There's North and South Korea. You should have specified. Well, you just said Korea. He's South Korean.
Yeah, but exactly. So 3-1.
2-1 to Gordon DL.
See you later,
is
Craig.
A narrow victory.
Oh.
Unlucky, Craig.
Oh, Craig, you did have a nightmare, didn't you?
I didn't have it.
And by the way, you had that witness for America. How's she got to feel about you? You've let our country down tonight.
He actually only would have got one less point than Craig
there. I've got a request for you, Gordon. Right, so I'm on my way to a pipe band practice at the moment, all right?
Yep.
My partner is in the house listening on the Alexa.
Oh, yeah?
I'll be glad to know you've still got it.
What's your address?
He actually fancies you.
I was going to say, what's your address? I'll pop round.
Hey, from Gordon.
Yeah. Have extra band practice, mate. Don't rush home. I'll have your tea ready.
Well, thank you to Craig and his American friend there.
Yeah.
Enjoy your band practice.
Victory.
In fairness, maybe I'm being harsh. I don't know. I'm getting the message from the producer saying that they're going to give you Korea. So technically, well, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I would have went south. 100% went south Korea.
Yeah, that's fair. I would have. You know what? Okay, 3-1 to Gordon DL. Then it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It still is a victory for Gordon DL,
fellow,
which means that you now have a
I'm right up there now.
Record. You're now 6 wins and 5 defeats.
I'm flying
this summer.
7-4, really. Because I gave one away, didn't I? Come on.
Still lost
kindness
it.
Of the
still
heart.
Still lost it. 0141-951-1025 on the phones. Greg is a Rangers fan in Steps. Greg, are you happy with the signing of JD Gassama today?
Yes, 100%. I think it's a great signing, something Rangers have been missing over the years. Don't get me wrong, it's always with Rangers, I've always had one winger on either side. I've always said that you've either had Cherney or the previous season before, you've always had Seaman, and you've never had somebody on the other side, the other wing. But my main point of view I've got is, we're a week away from qualifiers and we're still not signed a proper out-and-out striker. And how's that player going to get up to speed for a qualifier? It's now next week.
Do you think a striker is needed at the moment when Rangers still have all the striking options from last season? Cyril Dessers is still there, Hamza Egerman's still there, Danilo's still there.
But you look at it in perspective, over the past couple of seasons, yes, these strikers have turned up, but we're playing a high-level side next week. And these two players did come back late to pre-season as well. So are these players going to be up to speed as well, these strikers?
Right now, it wouldn't be a position that I'd be too concerned about, because everyone knows that I'm a massive Dessers fan. I think he can score goals. I think he can get you important goals. He scored in Europe before. He finished top goal scorer last year. I know there's rumours going about that he may not be at Ibrox by the start of the season. But look, I do agree. I think there's one or two concerns, because I couldn't believe how quickly this game's crept up. I thought there would have been a little bit more game time for Rangers and working in different things. But they've brought in 7 signings this season, plus Cortez, which makes it 8. That's a fair deal. That's a fair deal for Russell Martin. You can't come in as a new manager and say, well, I didn't really get backed. You've got 7 plus somebody who's in the building. It's up to him how he's going to plan for it. If they get rid of one of them, then I would think, like Greg, I think that would be a massive concern. But right now, we've not put any of them out the door. So I think Russell Martin must be happy to go away. And it'll probably be Dessers that will start.
Do you think that's what it hangs on, Greg? Because those options are there and money has been spent on those 3 players I mentioned, that one would need to leave before, you know, another striker came in?
Well, I completely understand that point of view, but the main concern I have is we're meant to have this financial takeover, and you look at it in perspective, yes, we've made 7 signings, but there have not been a lot of money financially. And you look at it with, I think it was Turgeman, it was one of the main links we've been with in Vardy. But we've been more concerned with the kind of centre-back position and midfield. I mean, if you look at Rangers over the years and you look at the other side of the city, Celtic are all about wingers and attacking fast football, and that's Russell Martin's style of play as well. But my main concern is, if you do bring in a striker or one of our main strikers goes, then how are they going to get quickly up to speed with Russell Martin's style of play within a week for a big Champions League qualifier?
He wouldn't, Greg, and you make a good point, but it's very difficult sometimes, as much as Russell Martin, to me, has been backed. And I know that some of the signings, some of the Rangers supporters are thinking, hold on a minute, we're going to the lower leagues down in England to pick up players or whatever. But we can never tell how these guys are going to perform. We've got to give them every opportunity, the same way as the Rangers manager's got to get every opportunity to come in and show what he's got to do. But sometimes a club will sit there and say, well, hold on, you're looking for an R striker. You've mentioned them. They've got 3 strikers in there. And the 3 strikers will be on, you know, a decent wage. So sometimes you've got to balance it up. It's not just about keep signing, keep signing, keep signing. You've really got to have a duty as a manager and a board to say, right, we've got to balance this up. If we're going to bring in an R striker and we think it's better quality, then we've got to get 1 or 2 off the wage bracket here. And Rangers haven't done that so far. They've got 3 sitting just now. So I'm not surprised, unless one goes out the door, I'm not surprised nobody's coming in that area. I think that they'll go with the 3 just now until one they can sell one on, maybe get the right price or whatever it may be. But I'm not surprised that Rangers haven't brought in a centre-forward.
Greg mentions the wide areas there as well. Is that maybe more pressing for Russell Martin, just the way that he plays? You'd expect that, you know, he'll want you know, out and out wingers in that team. There's Oscar Cortez, who's yet to prove himself at Rangers. JD Gassama's just come in. Apart from that, there aren't really any other, you know, obvious options. It doesn't look as if Rabbi Matondo's going to be a part of things. It doesn't look as if Ross McCausland's going to be a part of things either. So you've got two wide positions and only really two sort of natural wingers to fill them.
Yeah, I think if you're going to go down that road, and that's a formation you're going to play, and that's what you like to play, with the fast wingers and the width, and especially at Ibrox, to try and stretch teams, then I think you've got to have plenty of cover there. I think you're right. I think you've mentioned one or two there. I don't think probably has got to feature under Russell Martin this season. That's why I'm saying these guys, you've got to make space for them. There'll be other guys in there just now, and fans will be looking, thinking, oh, just sitting picking up a wage. You've got to try and unload as much as add the strength to your squad. You can't just keep bringing in player after player and then just paying contract after contract, and that's what gets you into the problem. You've got to try and balance it, and I'm sure that Rangers right now are probably in that process of trying to get one or two of these guys that you said, rightly so, ain't going to feature. You've got to get them off the wage bracket.
Greg, how do you feel about the general preparations? Gordon was saying earlier on that, you know, potentially that there maybe haven't been enough friendlies, or certainly ones sort of higher profile games, you know, Club Bruges was at Ibrox, but apart from that, there maybe hasn't been the big preparation games that some would think would be needed ahead of a game like this.
See, to be fair, I'm actually in the opposite opinion. I think it's better in a sense of he's focusing on stamping his style of play and getting the players up to that fitness. You always hear, obviously through football, if it's like a game on a Wednesday or a Saturday or a Friday, for example, a Thursday or a Sunday for us in Europa League, and it's always the players are fatigued. These are athletes, these boys, and they need to be up to speed, and their fitness needs to be top level. And I think watching it in the kind of training videos I've been watching on Rangers TV, you can see quite clearly that Russell Martin is giving them a good pre-season. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing this, the qualifier. But my main concern is the strike force, and if they're going to be up to speed with Russell Martin's style of play, and they're going to get the goals, and that obviously decides it to get us into the third qualifying round.
Well, thank you to Greg. Any thoughts to add to that or anything else? Give us a call now, 0141 951 1025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean. We've had a text in from Hugh Keevans, who says it's a disgrace if you're given Korea as a right answer because he wasn't allowed EK Thistle, East Kilbride Thistle, as a correct answer for who
and
Scott
he didn't
Allen
get
went
that.
To. Well, no, because it's a completely different team. East Kilbride Thistle are a completely different team from East Kilbride. So the answer's wrong.
That's poor. Anyway, tell him not to bother. 2-1 if he's...
Either way, you did win, yeah. So that's fine. There would be more controversy, because I don't know, you wouldn't have heard this actually on Friday night. There was so much controversy about that, because I only heard them say East Kilbride. I didn't hear the Thistle bit. So I initially gave it to him. There was uproar. We had phone calls. We had tweets telling us that it was wrong. We then had to phone the caller back, do a VAR check, and then it went to a tiebreaker, and then Hugh lost.
Ah, that's ridiculous.
Imagine how raging you would be at that.
Oh, I would have been out. I wouldn't have accepted that. That's ridiculous. I'm with Hugh there.
Full capital letters, by the way, in his text to me as well. That's how annoyed he is. Imagine how long that would have taken him to type out in his Nokia.
Yeah, he'll be sitting in that kitchen. I know what he's doing.
Not happy at all. Right, 0141 951 1025 if you've got any more thoughts. Let's take a look at the Premier Sports Cup fixtures tonight. 15 games, quite a few that look good. It is this sort of awkward period where, you know, some managers do look at, it's kind of pre-season, but they are competitive games in a competition that could lead to a trophy at the end of the day. So it's all about trying to juggle it for these managers, and some new managers as well that don't really know much about Scottish football or the competition yet.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because, you know, managers do use this as part of their pre-season. But if you're for instance, a Premier League manager, no disrespect, but you can't be losing to Airdrie if you're Steve Presley. You know, he's come in there with a sort of a cloud above his head, and all of a sudden, first home game, and well done, Airdrie, fantastic result for him. But if you're a Premier League team, you've got to be careful, because you're right, you want to get to the later stages of this tournament. You don't want to be knocked out in the group stages because all of a sudden you put yourself under a little bit of pressure getting into the league campaign. For the other ones, it's just trying to build a squad. You look at different teams there, and we talk about them all the time because he was on the show, Market Party, try to build that team, try to get players in, maybe using it as one or two trialists as well to see if he can bolster his squad. So there's a lot of important games there, and it'll be interesting because it always brings up one or two surprise results.
Because even the early stages for optics and fan opinion, you mentioned Stephen Presley, it's not going to go down well with Dundee fans. You look at Jens Bertolascu was saying yesterday, they drew away at Clyde, got the bonus point on penalties. He was talking about the warm conditions, but at home to Peterhead tonight, I'm not going to say that, you know, fans will be raging if Motherwell don't win it, but there maybe will be some question marks about, well, maybe why aren't the team up to speed at the point where they're not able to beat lower league opposition yet?
And anyone that had their doubts with the new manager, and I touched on Stephen Presley, because the new manager came in, there was a bit of negativity about the appointment, but I keep saying you've got to give everybody the opportunity to go and show what they can do. You don't want to put yourself under pressure right away, especially if you're a Premier League manager and you're losing to teams that are lower than you. And for instance, Motherwell, well done to Clyde, but Motherwell at the start of the season should be really going out there and beating Clyde. And you'd expect them to bounce back tonight at home against Peterhead. So as much as you've just got to be careful, especially for new people coming in, because fans turn up and they think, oh, this could be a good season for us. And if they get a negative right away, it doesn't help you.
Well, I like hearing from fans of clubs we maybe don't hear from as much. David is an East Kilbride fan, of course, now in League Two, playing tonight as well against Raith Rovers. How are you, David?
We're good, thanks. Hey, boys, how are you doing?
Hi, David.
All good, all good. Are you on your way to the game?
We're not far. Some places I've never knew existed in the back of Fife here, but we're almost there. So, going up to Starks Park.
How much are you looking forward to the game tonight?
I mean, I think it's hard to say about what will happen, because I think Mick Kennedy's seen it a wee bit as kind of pre-season almost as well, and even though we're up, I think that the league's still the priority, but it's a good run out. I mean, we did okay in the first half against St Johnstone on Saturday, and then kind of fell away a bit and they came strong, but I think it all helps, you know, minutes in the legs of the guys, getting used to it, and preparing for League Two, because we're definitely ready for it, so just fine-tuning things, I think.
Yeah, just in terms of that St Johnstone game, you know, you said fell away a bit in the second half, but to go 1-0 up against a team that's only just been relegated from the Premiership, did that feel like a good, solid showing in the first competitive game of the season?
Yeah, I think definitely in the first half, yeah, like there's no fear, they stick to what the game plan is, and John Roberts in the wing, fantastic free kick goal, but he looked back to his best, and there's always a danger in the team, so at first half especially a great run out. We'll see tonight. I think another first half or 60 minutes getting some new guys in would be strong, because the squad is strong from last year, but I think we were kind of running a wee bit on empty in the playoffs, so just interesting to see how some of the new boys head in and bolster the squad a wee bit.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see how the teams that come up through the pyramid playoff do in the league, and you'd reckon, you know, the project that East Kilbride have there, they'll have big ambitions this season, Gordon.
Massive. We actually spoke to Mick Kennedy, I think it was in the close season or just at the end of the season, and I asked him the question, what's your ambition next year? You're up now into League Two. And basically, it was to go and win it. So they're a very ambitious club. Look, I think these games, I totally agree with David, I think these games are good for East Kilbride. No disrespect, they're not going to go on and get to semi-finals or anything like that. They're building. I think playing against better opponents, like Championship teams, tonight will be a difficult game, because Raith Rovers are a good side. You play St Johnstone, you go 1-0 up. The reports, first half, they played very, very well. But you're up against a team that's just come down for the Premier League that's getting ambitions to get straight back up. So for a team like East Kilbride, this is brilliant preparation for the start of their campaign in the league.
Are those the ambitions for the league campaign, David? Do you think it can be possible to go up again?
possible. I wouldn't put anything past it. We've got a cracking team, and I think, as I say, we're ready for it, and we're kind of been building for this, you know, to give it a right good run, because some of the teams in that Lowland League are pretty tough, you know, and especially with Clyde Bank coming up from the juniors this year. I reckon you'll see a few more teams coming up from the Lowland League into League 2, so why not? You know, the ambition's there. Mick Kennedy, he sticks to the style of play. Don't get me wrong, it gives you heart attacks sometimes trying to play out for the back, but the boys stick to it, they do it, and they're committed to it, and it's good to see. You know, the town's there, a big town for support, so I just hope that we keep it going, you know, and see where we can go. And I think maybe Kennedy maybe even said the championship ultimately might be his aim, so why not? You know, let's go for it.
Well, thank you to David. That will be all we've got time for on the phones, but still a bit of time to look at some of the games tonight. Just touching on that Motherwell-Peterhead game, there's no Lennon Miller in the squad again for this one. Jens Bertolascu saying that, you know, he's maybe not quite ready to feature in these games. He's maybe a bit behind. I think naturally there will always just be question marks, though, when there's the, you know, so much transfer speculation around him. He was saying last week that, you know, he'd be happy for Lennon Miller to play and go out there, but, you know, once again, not available for this game.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because I don't think Lennon Miller will be a Motherwell player come the start of the season. Obviously, there's a lot of clubs taking a very, very big interest in the young lad, rightly so, because he's a brilliant talent and he'll go on to bigger and better things. So you've got to really protect it a little bit. You know, you don't take the risk of maybe something happening to him in one of these games tonight against Peterhead. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because I might just snip along there and watch a bit of Motherwell to see how they're progressing under our new manager.
No, you won't. St Mirren as well, they are in action tonight. Not the result they would have wanted against Arbroath at the weekend. Ended up losing on that bonus point penalty shootout. But Stephen Robinson has, you know, had such a good record at St Mirren over the last 3 years, top six finishes. But a cup run is something that they've just not had at all. And that's
poor,
something
yeah.
that he's talked about. He's had his own success, of course, and with Motherwell in cup competitions, getting to a couple of finals in the same year. But that'll be something that he'll want for this squad that have been such a success.
Yeah, he's a shame. I don't think by any matter means that he would come under pressure, because he's been absolutely brilliant for St Mirren. But he'll be looking for an improvement. He'll be looking for his players, that style of football that he likes to play. The new players coming in, we keep saying it, greatest phrase in football, especially at the start of the season. He'll be wanting to see his players hitting the ground running. He's away from home tonight. Wasn't the best result in the first one. I would imagine they'll bounce back tonight, no problem.
Well, thank you for all your calls tonight. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for watching on the live stream, getting involved in social media. If you're heading along to one of those 15 games tonight, I hope you enjoy it. There is another one tomorrow night as well, Kilmarnock against Livingston. That should be a real interesting one as well, a full Premiership clash. So we'll preview that one tomorrow night. I will be back in the studio with Scott Allen for that one. So you can join us again, same time as usual. And it is Lynn Hogan that is up next.